Good morning. My name is John Waits, and I'm the honorary curate here at St. Margaret's in Chipstead. And this morning, we have the Book of Common Prayer Holy Communion service. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and all thy strength, and all thy mind. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. And the mighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Charles, our king and governor, that he, knowing whose minister he is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory. And that we, and all his subjects, duly considering whose authority he hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey him in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. And we pray now we have the collect, and then we have the readings after that, and then the Creed. The Collect for the first Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, fasted 40 days in the wilderness, was tempted as we are, yet without sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit, and as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig trees together and made coverings for themselves. This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendour. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now we have the sermon.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It seems strange that the Spirit of God should lead Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. The Spirit of God and the devil seem to be working together against Jesus, tempting to lead him astray from God. Well, Jesus has just been filled with the Holy Spirit as he is baptized in the River Jordan. And a voice from heaven has said, this is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Why then should that same Spirit lead him into the wilderness to meet his tempter? Jesus, I believe, is led into the wilderness because he must face a time of testing. He needs to confront the evil of the world. He needs to engage in battle with the devil. It's only by defeating the devil that he can complete the task for which he has come into the world. Jesus needs to win a hard struggle if he is to achieve our redemption. But why does Jesus face this particular set of three temptations? What's wrong with providing bread to feed the hungry? What would be wrong by placing a safety net to catch him if he was in danger of falling? And what would be wrong with reaching a friendly agreement with the ruler of this world? We'll need to look at each of these temptations in turn. Jesus faces these particular temptations because he is the Son of God. As his disciples and as members of his church, we need to recognize the particular temptations we face because we are children of God. We can imagine Satan saying to each of us, if you are a child of God, feed the hungry. Or if you are a child of God, land safely on your feet. Or even if you're a child of God, seek to bring goodness out of compromise with evil. By looking more closely at the temptations that Jesus faced, we may be able to see what is the best response we can make to the temptations that we face ourselves. Because he is the Son of God, Jesus overcomes all the temptations the devil can throw at him. He can face the most severe tests. It's not the same with us. Our spiritual strength is not so great, and we must pray that we are not led into temptation, and that we may be protected from the evil one, using the words that Jesus himself has given us in the Lord's Prayer. And we must trust God that we will not be tested beyond our strength to resist. Jesus confronted Satan, and we need his help if we are to do the same. The first temptation is the temptation of food. When Jesus was hungry, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." It sounds as if Satan is really testing Jesus' self-control, his overcome of hunger. But if we read how Jesus replies, it's clear that something else is in Satan's mind as well. Jesus quotes back to Satan a verse from the Old Testament. "People don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." As the Son of God, he may be able to satisfy the hunger of many people, but that is not what he came into the world to do. One occasion, he made enough bread to satisfy the hunger of 5,000 people. Then crowds of people came looking for him to give them something to eat. But that was not what he wanted to happen. He wanted people to come to God seeking love and forgiveness. He'd not come to provide bread to eat, but to be himself the bread of life for all his people. In John's Gospel, Jesus actually reprimands the crowd, saying, "Don't work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." As followers of Jesus, we can learn a lesson from Jesus' response to this first temptation. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't feed the hungry. After all, Jesus loves food banks. He loves charities like Christian Aid and Tearfund. But providing food is not the main purpose of our mission. Our main purpose is to share God's mercy and redemption with the world in which we live. In the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to give us our daily bread, the food we need for each day. And Jesus has told us we shouldn't worry about food because God will give us everything we really need. But what we most need is God's love and forgiveness, which will sustain us all our days in time and in eternity. So our lesson from the first temptation is not bread alone. The second temptation begins with the devil quoting the Bible, pretending perhaps to be a good Christian. He takes Jesus to the top of a high building and dares him to jump. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Well, this comes from Psalm 91, and that whole psalm is a song of praise for God, for the God who keeps us safe. "You will not let us perish in any disaster. You'll always be among the survivors. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you." The devil is suggesting that Jesus should put his faith to the test. Does he really trust God to protect him? So, like, would he be immune from COVID? Would he escape injury in an earthquake? Let him construct an experiment. Let him jump. If Jesus had this supernatural security, he could use it to keep himself safe. Or he could use it to protect others. Or he could use it to demonstrate his power. Then everyone would have to accept that he really was the Son of God. The crowds want to see signs and wonders. Only then will they believe. In reply, Jesus quotes another verse of scripture from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. "Don't put the Lord your God to the test." We shouldn't need to see miracles before we believe in God. And if we ask for a scientific type of proof of our faith, it won't be given to us. The message is clear. Don't jump out of that window. This is one of the temptations that Jesus faced at the start of his ministry. At the end of his ministry, he faced a more serious, crucial series of tests. His first disciple, Peter, played the role of Satan, tempting him to escape from his task as a suffering servant of God. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed that he should be spared the cup of pain. As he hung dying on the cross, his enemies mocked him, saying, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. Let him come down. Let him come down now from the cross. We will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I'm the Son of God.'" But it was because he was the Son of God that he had to suffer and to die. It was by his suffering and death that he would redeem the world. And he warns us that we may have to suffer too, even though we are children of God. The lesson from the second temptation is, don't put God to the test. The third temptation is a direct challenge to Jesus' relationship with his Father. Satan shows him the whole world and says, "All this I will give you if you will worship me instead of your Father in heaven." And Jesus responds with some more words from Deuteronomy. They are to worship the God of Israel and him alone. The devil claims that he can give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their splendour. This is even more explicit in the account of the temptations we can find in Luke's Gospel. There the devil shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and he says, "I will give you all their authority and splendour. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours." Well, perhaps Satan is just telling a lie. We know that lying is something that devils often do. Perhaps he's not really the ruler of this world. Perhaps he's just playing a trick. But we can't be so sure. There are some suggestions in the Bible that evil is powerfully at work in the world. Jesus himself, for example, in John's Gospel, refers to the devil as the prince of this world. This is a temptation Jesus really must resist. If he is the Son of God, he must not compromise with Satan, however favourable the terms of partnership may appear. To do that would be like trying to cast out demons by the power of Beelzebub, their prince. There can be no compromise between Beelzebub and Jesus, God's Son. So similarly, we as followers of Jesus shouldn't give our support to present-day political or social forces that are not compatible with our worship of God. There have been many examples of churches that have in effect sold their souls in order to win political power or popularity. Our prayer should always be that God's kingdom should come. This cannot be a kingdom shared with anyone else, not a rule allied with some other faith or ideology. We long for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Nothing less will do. That gives us our lesson from the third temptation: no compromise with the devil, with the evil of the world. Jesus stayed in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, learning what he must do if he is indeed the Son of God. We can spend a similar period of time in the season of Lent learning what it would mean for us to be children of God. Jesus used the time in prayer and Bible reading. We would do well to do the same. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, Son of God, we thank you for facing 40 days of testing on our behalf, resisting temptation and defeating the devil. Be with us when we face tests of our own. You, Lord, are the bread of life. Feed us now and evermore. We are safe in your hands. We don't seek for proof of your care. And we worship you and you alone. May your kingdom come. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where the rust and moth does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church, militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal Church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word, and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and especially thy servant Charles, that under him we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto his whole council and to all that are put in authority under him, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. Let me just take a moment to bring before God those whom we would especially commend to him this day. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. Remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So it's lovely that you're joining us at home for this communion. And it is, of course, a spiritual communion as opposed to a physical communion together. So this prayer of spiritual communion, taken from the great St. Mary's Church in Cambridge, is a beautiful way to remember Jesus and that he is with us here in this Eucharist, in our hearts. It's a prayer inspired by St. Richard of Winchester. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits you have given me, for all the pains and insults you have borne for me. Since I now cannot receive you sacramentally, I ask you to come spiritually into my heart. O most merciful friend, redeemer and brother, may I know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen. And if you're going to take the bread and wine at home, you might like to pause now and get the bread and the wine. The prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it. And he gave his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is the body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he gave them thanks, he gave them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me. Amen." The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on them in thy heart by faith with thanksgiving.
Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. As our Saviour Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And the prayer after communion. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily beseech thee and thank thee, for thou dost vouchsafe to feed us who have duly received these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people. And we are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and your family, your friends, all those whom you love. Be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.